Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the cohort called the Italian cohort. I don't know a lot of details about what all this means. I know this means he was a Gentile. He was, I believe, a Roman military officer. I believe a centurion would be someone who is over 100 men. But I also am thinking cohort or band is maybe 600 men. So he was an important person. Okay. It also says a devout man and one who feared God with all his house, who gave many charitable gifts to the people and always prayed to God. This was a good man. This man was even well liked by the Jews. Even though he was a Roman military officer, he was a good man. Even the Jews liked him. And you might be thinking, well, great, this is a good man. He's good to go, because this is probably the most popular belief in this country is, I'm going to heaven because I am a good person. Well, guess what? Cornelius was a good person. It says he was a devout man, one who feared God. He gave many charitable gifts to the people and prayed to God. He is a good man. Surely he's going to heaven. And yet, at this point, Cornelius is lost spiritually. If he died right then, he would have spent eternity in hell. Why? Because he is under the law of Christ as we are today. And he wasn't following the law of Christ. He hadn't done what God said to do under the law of Christ. How do I know this? Because in Acts 11:14, where Peter is retelling this story, he says, who shall tell you, you Cornelius, words by which you and all your house shall be saved? They were not saved. They were good people, but they were not obedient to the law of Christ. It is the same today. I don't care how good a person you might think you are, unless you obey the law of Christ, you are lost. About the ninth hour of the day, so it'd be about 3 p.m., they're talking about Cornelius, he clearly saw in a vision, an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked at him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your charitable gifts have come up for a memorial before God. And now send me into Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you ought to do. Now, wait a minute. Here's another example of an angel is sending, is telling Cornelius, send for this man to come and tell you the word of God. Wouldn't it have just been so much easier for the Holy Spirit to just zap that right into Cornelius? That is not how God does it. He has put the gospel, the word of God, into earthen vessels by us studying the word of God so that we can go out and teach others. The Holy Spirit does not give us some kind of spiritual steroid. He does not enter into us physically and literally and zaps us with knowledge. That's not how it works. Yes, he did that with the apostles, but he certainly does not do that to us today. So, Cornelius has to be taught the gospel of Christ by another person. And when the angel who spoke to Cornelius had departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from those who waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. So Cornelius sent some people to Joppa to go get this Simon Peter. On the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. So about noon, he went up to pray, and he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made preparations, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain container descending to him as if it had been a great sheet tied at the four corners and let down to the earth, in which were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowl of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." So here you have an angel going to Cornelius and saying, "Cornelius, go send for Simon Peter. Simon Peter needs to come to you and tell you, teach you what you need to do to be saved. Because even though you're a good man, you are not saved." At the same time, Peter, up on the roof, praying to God, he falls into a trance. And in a vision, a container that looked like a sheet being let down by its four corners from the sky, filled with all kinds of animals, clean and unclean. According to the law of Moses, it would be clean and unclean. And then this voice says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Now remember, they're under the law of Christ at this point, not the law of Moses. So all meats can be eaten at this point. They're not under these strict dietary laws that God gave the Israelites. And the voice spoke to him again the second time. "What God has cleansed, do not call that common." Now, as a side note, you can say, okay, this gives somebody, this means that you can eat any meat you want to. We're not under the law of Moses. And I'm an American. I've never been under the law of Moses. I was not an Israelite living thousands of years ago. But his main point to Peter is that the Jews and the Gentiles are equal. Do not call Gentiles unclean. Because that's kind of the attitude that the Jews had in the first century. We Jews are special, we're clean, the Gentiles not special and unclean. God is saying you need to stop that. Stop that thinking. Jews and Gentiles are equal. Now, while Peter doubted it himself, okay, now this was done three times. So three separate times he had this sheet come down and this happened, and the container was received up into heaven again. Now, while Peter doubted himself what this vision that he had seen should mean, behold, the man who had been sent from Cornelius made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, who was surnamed Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise therefore and get down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." So God is getting these people together. He's getting Peter, who is a Jew and an apostle. He's going to be sending him to Cornelius and to his household and to his friends. They're Gentiles. This might be considered the first Gentile conversions to Christianity. I don't know if technically that's true, but I think it would sort of be viewed that way. Like, this is the first major conversion of Gentiles to Christianity. And why God said, Peter, don't be calling anything unclean. Jews and Gentiles are equal, and they are just as welcome in the Lord's church as Jews are. Okay, then Peter went down to the man who had been, then Peter went down to the man who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the reason for which you have come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was warned by a holy angel from God to send for you to come to his house and to hear words from you." Then he called them in and gave them lodging, so they went ahead and stayed with him that night. And on the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brothers from Joppa accompanied. So this is all about getting Peter to Cornelius and his household. And the next day, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. So this is a big deal. I mean, he called everybody, all his family, all his friends. And as Peter came in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Of course, that's a big, huge no-no. Cornelius didn't understand, but you do not worship a man. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." Now, what makes me just so mad is that you have the Catholic Church, first of all, claiming Peter is the first pope, which he most certainly wasn't. There's no authority whatsoever anywhere in the New Testament for the position of a pope. And yet they claim Peter is their first pope. And the pope today, and the popes from hundreds of years ago, have all accepted worship. They are fine with people worshiping him. We ought not to worship any man. Peter, who is supposedly their first pope, said, you don't worship me. I am simply a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. And he said to them, "You know how it is unlawful. It is an unlawful thing for a man who is a Jew to keep company with or visit someone of another nation." Well, yeah, that might have been Jewish tradition. That's not God's law. "But God showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, as soon as I was sent for, I came to you without objection. I ask, therefore, for what intent have you sent for me?" So Peter is telling them, look, I realize that I shouldn't be thinking that way, that Gentiles are not unclean, you know. So I'm here without any, partiality, discrimination, you know. I'm here, open and honest. "And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and I prayed in my house at the ninth hour, 3 p.m., and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, an angel, and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your charitable gifts have been remembered in the sight of God.'" So basically, Cornelius is recounting to Peter what happened to him. "Therefore, send me into Joppa and call Simon, whose surname is Peter here. He is lodged in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the seaside. When he comes, he shall speak to you. Therefore, I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all the things that you have been commanded by God." So Cornelius just recounting to Peter, this is what happened. We're so glad you came. We're all here. We're ready to listen to you. Can you imagine people having that kind of open heart today? Like, you know what? We want to learn the word of God. Here we are. Teach us. Man, can you imagine? "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Truly I perceive that God shows no partiality.'" God is not a respecter of persons. "But in every nation, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, every nation, he who fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Whoever believes and obeys is accepted by God. The word that God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word I say you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism that John preached." So he's recounting that, look, the word of God, the gospel of Christ, has been preached starting at Galilee when John was out there preaching in the wilderness. It started there. Of course, he mentions that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, not just the Jews. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So he's making it clear right there that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Remember in Matthew 4, Jesus was baptized, and when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove, or like a dove. And that's when Jesus received more power, because I think when Jesus left heaven and came down to earth as a man, I do think that he voluntarily gave up a lot of his power. But when the Holy Spirit landed on him, at his baptism, I think that's when he got a lot more power. And that's when he started his ministry. He was 30 years old. He started his ministry doing all his preaching and teaching about the church and the kingdom and performing miracles. And of course, God was with him during this whole time. And we are witnesses of all things that he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. So we apostles have been eyewitnesses to all these things. We've been there with him. We've seen it with our own eyes. And we saw that the Jews ended up taking him and crucifying and killing him on the cross. But God raised him up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before God. He is not going to show Jesus to every single person who has ever lived, including me. He's not going to show himself to every single person. He had witnesses. He had witnesses. Even to us apostles who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. We were there. We saw him. There were 12 of us. We all saw him. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of living and dead. We're witnesses, and now we are going around telling everybody that we can. That's our job. That's our mission, to spread the word of God, to spread the gospel of Christ, to get people to obey the gospel. To him, all the prophets from the Old Testament give witness that through his name, whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. This has been prophesied since the beginning. All the prophets in the Old Testament prophesying about Jesus Christ coming, who is the Son of God, and that if you believe in him, and not just a casual belief always includes obedience, you can receive forgiveness of your sins. While Peter still spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. Now, this is unusual. Cornelius and his household hadn't been baptized yet, and here they are getting power from the Holy Spirit. And not through the laying on of the apostles' hands, but straight from heaven. And those of the circumcision, or those Jewish Christians who believed, and as many as came with Peter, so the Jewish Christian men who were traveling with Peter, were astonished because the gift of the Holy Spirit was also poured out on the Gentiles. Wow, even the Gentiles are getting this power from the Holy Spirit. That's incredible. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's how they knew that they had gotten that these Gentiles had gotten the whole power from the Holy Spirit, because they were speaking in tongues. A supernatural act. I do not believe this is baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think the apostles are the only ones who got the full power from the Holy Spirit. But I do think it was straight from heaven, instead of laying on of the apostles' hands. Then Peter answered, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" In other words, straight from heaven. Is there any reason why these Gentiles cannot also become Christians? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Guess what? Baptism is a command. I've heard somebody say before, baptism is never commanded. Baptism is never commanded. Well, right here, Peter commanded them to be baptized. And again, this is another example to show that when you were baptized, you not immediately get the Holy Spirit. They actually got the Holy Spirit before they were baptized. Why? I don't really know. But I know this is a good example to show that you don't get the Holy Spirit literally inside your body when you're baptized, like Pentecostals believe today. And I'm sure others too. But, and that is Acts chapter 10.